they mean something very special, each one, to me. And as we were celebrating my birthday, I thought, right, let's remind myself of some of the things that the Lord has said to me, challenged me through these particular songs. So we're going to start with, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Great things
he has done.
People might know from the book about the rebel, or maybe because of things I've told them. Something I'm going to tell you now, I don't think even when I think about it that Eunice knows about this.
Okay, revelations.
But when I look back, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Apparently I was such a problem to my family, to my father particularly, that he reported me to the local probation service. And although I hadn't been through court, I was put on probation, and I had a probation officer that visited me regularly to see that I was now behaving myself. It's a bit of a shock when your father does something behind your back and no one else knows. It wasn't a court case or anything like that, but he knew what a problem I was. But you know, isn't it wonderful, grace? Doesn't matter what we've done. We don't get salvation through service, through being good. No, it's a great gift of God. So let us sing Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
led in worship by Chile and by Richard. We thank them for all that they do. And today I've asked that Jilly should lead us in our main prayers. So over to Jilly.
To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, that all those years ago you lifted Bruce out of the miry clay and made him your child. Thank you that you did that for each and every one of us. I will offer up my life. Thank you, Lord, that as we talked about last week, it's all about you. You prepared in advance the works that we would do for you. Thank you that Bruce responded to your call and has served you faithfully over many decades. Thank you that you entrust each one of us with your calling as we seek to share the wonderful gospel message. In Christ alone. In our last hymn today, we are reminded that you are our hope, our light, our strength, our song, our cornerstone, our solid ground. Thank you that Bruce and we all can stand on these truths. We know that Bruce has a heart for community, and thank you for all that he and Eunice have done together in many different places that you have called them to. Thank you for their ministry here in this place, and that it may long continue. We lift each and everyone here to you to be aware of your presence and your healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Beyond all measure, that he could save his only son to make a wretch his treasure.
How deep the Father's love for us. Turns his face away.
Just share with you that Stuart, Gene Stuart, sends his greetings and his thanks. He asks to be remembered to all of you. And I hope that with August coming, that Deborah, Graham, Eunice and myself, we'll go back and visit him again. We had one lovely visit with him, and when it's convenient, we'd love to come. And my calendar will be easier in August, so is that right? These are verses of scripture which have been chosen especially about the wonder of God working through us. The heading would be our life message and how we can share it. So over to Gene.
With a few verses here to read this morning, and as Bruce says, it's under one heading, sharing our life message. First one, 1 John 5 verse 10. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony of God in them. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8. God has given us a life message to share. God wants to speak to the lost through us. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17. We speak the truth before God as messengers of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." 1 Peter 2 and 8. Our life message includes our testimony, the story of how Christ has made a difference in our life. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. Our life message includes sharing our godly passions. As we grow close to God, He will give us a passion for something He cares about deeply, so we can be a spokesman for Him in the world. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your message burns in my heart and bones, and I cannot keep silent, Lord. Our life message includes the good news that when we trust God's grace to save us, through what Jesus did, our sins are forgiven, we get a purpose for living, and we are promised a future home in heaven. Romans 1 verse 17. The good news shows how God makes people right with Himself, but it begins and ends with faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, verse 14. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. If we have been afraid to share the good news with those around us, ask God to fill our hearts with his love for them. Colossians 4 and 5. Make the most of our chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in all our contacts with them. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of us? Imagine the joy of greeting people in heaven who we helped to get there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Quite a challenge there. I'm sure I must have told you this before, but I'll take a chance. A lady back in Salem, or she's still in Salem, bless her heart, came to visit me in Paddington Hospital when I was there and having an operation on my throat, and she brought me an instrument so that I could play cassettes. And she gave me a cassette as well, and on it was this particular hymn, What Kind of Love Is This? And I have to say, I wasn't aware of this hymn at all before. But I was listening to it, and the tears were rolling down my eyes. And Paul, some of you know Paul, you certainly know Liam. Paul was Liam's dad. He came in, he saw the tears, and he said, oh no, it's cancer of the throat. I said, no. I said, I'm singing for joy. I won't say what he said, because he didn't understand it, but it's a great memory. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I'm the guilty one, yet I go free. Let's sing.
Yeah.
minister that baptized Eunice and I and married us came to all of my, well, by then it was about 3 inductions in different churches. Although he'd retired and gone to Wales, he kept coming back to be at my inductions. And he made a comment to Eunice, I hope he's not going to any more churches, because he was becoming to the end of his ministry. But he must have known that at all of our inductions and main services, I've always wanted this hymn. I will offer up my life in spirit and in truth. Let us sing. Stand up and actually give one's testimony. But here we are. I mean, I thought it was crazy when people told me that I should accept the Lord and that I should serve him. And so I want to start with the first verse that really says it all about my call. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I mean, I thought the future, the way people were suggesting it should be for me, was absolutely crazy. But when we come to the end of this testimony, you will have the verse that tells it all. Now, I was born on Sunday, the 29th of July, 1934. And apparently, I would not stop crying. And all the men apparently were outside in Godalming, where I was born, in Surrey, coming home from a local pub, making a lot of noise. Anyway, we were there in Godalming for the first 4 years of my life. And then we moved to Kingston-on-Thames in Surrey, where we were there from 1939 to 1943. And that's where I attended a local primary school, which was not far from Ham Common. And on Ham Common, we had a lovely building, but it had been used in the war for prisoners of the war. And sometimes some of those prisoners escaped and we would find them in our back garden. There we are. But when I arrived in Kingston, I joined the 9th Thames Valley Company of the Boys' Brigade. And they met in premises in the Kingston Congregational Church, which was, well, I think you'd say, in the centre of the town. And it had a very impressive entrance comprising of stone steps where one evening I stood at the top of the steps and I was performing an act with others egging me on and watching me. And it wasn't a very good act that I presented. And then suddenly I was aware that across the road there were two policemen in the porch of a shop. I knew then that I was going to be in trouble, because I knew what I'd been saying in my act. So I quickly disappeared and they followed me, but they never found me. And I arrived at my uncle's shop where my parents had been meeting him. And I don't know what I told my parents, but they could see that I was very, very worried. And for the last year of the Second World War, I was evacuated down here to Devon. And when the war was over, the family moved to London. And the BB, Boys' Brigade, transferred me to the 15th London Company, which met in St. Barnabas Church in Dulwich, where I got very involved with the church, and where I met my first girlfriend, one of many, I must have to admit. At 15, I left school and I went to work in the city. And at that time, the junior section of the Boys' Brigade, the Life Boys, started their organization with boys of 9 and over. And we had a lot of requests in our local Life Boys from parents asking for membership for their sons who were much younger than this age. Me being me, I took no notice, and we started having boys in 6, 7, 8. And then suddenly we received a complaint from Brigade Headquarters. Well, I wasn't going to take that. So in 1954, we started the new club called the Imps, which you would know, grew nationally. And in 1960, I agreed to a request that the Imps should become an official national voluntary organisation. He had spread all round the British Isles. And every year we held a Thanksgiving service in a big church, and we held the boys' display, and Imps from all over would come and take part. By this time, I had met Eunice, and we were married 18 months later. My proposal was probably the longest proposal ever made. I was taking Eunice out for the day, and I was going to do it then. And I started, and I said, "Eunice, there's something I want to ask you, but..." And I went on and on and on. I didn't realise. But anyway, when we got towards the end of the day and we needed to part, I said, "Oh, look, this is what I wanted to ask you." I said, "Will you marry me?" I said, "I know you want a long time to think about it." "Eunice is Eunice." She said, "What do you mean? I've had all day to think about it." And so, as I say, we were married 18 months later. By 1970, I was ordained. And in 1972, I attended a qualifying course for youth work. You see, I'd left school at 15. I didn't like school anyway. I hated it. And I didn't like being educated in any form. But here I was. I attended this qualifying course for youth work, obtained a certificate in 1975, and then in 1979 I started a 4-year part-time course at Spurgeon's College. This was for the ministry. In the meantime, I'd started as a Baptist minister in a Baptist church in Fulham. And that was a ministry that went from 1977 to 1985. Then in 1985, I was minister at the West Ealing Baptist Church. But also, in 1977, the Boys' Brigade and Scout Movement decided that they needed to reduce the age of entry for younger boys. The brigade by forming the Anchor Boys, and the scouts by forming the Beavers. So we decided that now was the time for the Imps to withdraw from the scene, because now, at last, this younger age group was being catered for. Eunice and I had met at Chatsworth Baptist Church, and we were both baptised there in 1960. And although continuing with the Imps, we had started a very lively youth club, and the numbers grew. They went to over 100 young people, even greater than that. And these were young people in their upper teens and in their early 20s. And I was called to be a Baptist minister eventually while there at the Salem Baptist Church in Hillingdon Heath. And that ministry was remarkable because there we saw the Lord, and it's the Lord doing it. It was the Lord acting in a wonderful way. We saw many people coming to faith. We had the delight of seeing people accepting avenues of service in Salem itself, and others going forward to fill full-time Christian appointments. In other words, they'd grown through the church. Not only had they first accepted the Lord, but they'd gone on determined to give their lives to the Lord in full-time service. And of course also, while we were in that ministry, we met special people. And I have to say, it's not only in Salem, but I mean, it would have started back in Chatsworth too, but we met special people. One was a chap called David. He in Chatsworth would be quite happy because we all sat up in the gallery with me in the church to let a book fall over the gallery down the bottom. In other words, he wasn't what you call a perfect young person, but he went on to be not only a great friend, but a youth leader and the head of further education in London. And it was good to see. And David and Kathy were there with us yesterday. They've kept a great and wonderful friendship. Kathy was the one he married, obviously. And then there was Graham. Do you know what I've got in my hand, Graham? I always hold a Bible. Do you know which Bible this is? Yours, yes. Here it is. Where is it? Presented to Graham at the occasion of his baptism, signed by me, Salem Baptist Church, the 9th of December, 1990. And, well, when Graham came to us, he wasn't any great Christian. He wasn't a perfect young man, but he came to the Lord and his life changed, and he became a great friend. And like Dave, had Kathy, Graham met Deborah, and we have a daughter as well as a son in Graham. And then we had Neil, of course. Neil was there yesterday too. He was a member of a church not that far from Salem, and he told his church that he felt a call to the ministry, and nobody did anything. And he saw me one day and he said, "I'm so disappointed." And what could I do? I said, "Look, if you feel you've got a call to the ministry, come with me." And I took him to an open day at Spurgeon's College. And from there, he eventually became a Baptist minister. He said to me, when he'd been accepted, he said, "Bruce, I'm on the church base course." I knew full well that the church base course, you did half the time at Spurgeon's and you did half the time in a church, and you were paid half a stipend. Well, I knew poor Salem couldn't afford to pay him. Anyway, he knocks on my door one day and says, "Bruce, I found the church I'm going to." Oh, a smile all over my face. I said, oh, great. Where? He said, here. But his faith was real. He was married by then, and he and Karen knew the strength of the call, and they accepted, and they lived, I suppose you say, by faith. But one day he said to me, do you know, Bruce, he said, the gifts we're receiving from the church are greater than half a stipend. So isn't it wonderful the way that the Lord acts? The Lord wasn't going to let that young man, as he was, disappear. No. They found a place for, the Lord found a place for him. And as you know, he had a great and continuing ministry. He and I used to baptize while he was with us every month. But there we are. I want to go on now to some quite serious things. I believe, my friends, in one living and true God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. I believe the scriptures are the word of God and that we must accept them as such. I believe that salvation through Jesus, who died and rose again, as the one and only sacrifice that is acceptable for all believers. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is active today and that he dwells within the heart of all true believers and gives to us the gifts that are to be used in the service of the Lord. I met a minister from America who told me that he wanted to help us in our church. But he said, you do know, don't you, that the Holy Spirit is not available to people today. I said, well, I'm sorry then, there's no place for you in this church. And we came across one or two English ministers who really believe that also. Well, I'm sorry. I firmly believe. And I know, because I couldn't have done anything I've done. I know that the Holy Spirit is active today, that he dwells within us, and he gives to us gifts that are to be used in the very service of the Lord. I continue. We cannot earn salvation. Jesus has made that possible for us by paying the perfect sacrifice. So we need to come to the Lord in repentance and faith. We need to accept, and I do believe that believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper, that those two events are the only ordinances that are taught by Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Yes. Yes, so I believe that those two events, the Lord's Supper and believers' baptism, are the two that Jesus has instituted from the beginning. Because we know, don't we, that Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist, he who was without any sin. But I'm sure, I believe, he did it as an example for believers today, ever since, to follow. I personally don't like labels given to people, but I suppose I could be described, if you would like to know, as what is called a conservative evangelical. I am one who accepts scriptures as the true word of God, and one who also sees that the prime task that we have is spreading the gospel. And I believe that is of utmost importance. I am first a Christian. I am second an evangelical, and third a Baptist. When the Baptist Union asked me what I believed, that's what I told them. And I think it's essential that we know what is important. And that was very important to me. Let me carry on. Going to repeat this a little bit, I think, but never mind. I believe that it is good for us to experiment in greater freedom in our worship services and in our great Christian life. I've come through a period when I first started, if you'd got up and danced, it would have been frowned upon. Here I remember, I don't know whether David there would know this or remember it, but there was a time in Barton when I'd been preaching, and it was one particular lady led it. She got up and we all started dancing all the way around the whole church. And why not? And do you know that that particular act brought people to Jesus, because there were some there that never thought that Christians were happy like that. So, you know, let us, with respect, but let us accept that we have freedom in our worship services for people to be able to ask questions, to do things that may be very different from the past. I believe every person receives at least one gift of the Spirit, and that all believers should seek to exhibit in their lives. Challenge here. I believe that we should seek to exhibit in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. And you know they are there in Scripture. If we can exhibit that fruit in our life. In fact, it's not called the fruits, it's called the fruit. So we are meant to exhibit all of those things, patience, kindness, love, and so forth. I believe as we give of the Spirit in our witness, so we need continual filling. That's one of the reasons why you're getting my prayer. Lord, fill us when we're empty of the Spirit. Fill us, Lord. We need to be full of the Spirit to be able to do all that the Lord requires of us. Now, I had the privilege of preaching in the following Baptist churches: Chatsworth, Godstone, Billericay, Rising Brook, Stafford, Haven Green, Crowthorne, Usley, West Drayton, Catshill, Ross and Wye. And I've also had the privilege of preaching in both Methodist, United Reformed, and Church of England churches. And then, of course, followed my full-time ministry when we came to Devon, first at Barton Baptist Church, then at Dartmouth Baptist Church, and now the Willows Community in Church. And you may not know this, but in addition, I've enjoyed the preaching in Baptist churches in Doraville, Atlanta, State Street, Casey, and South Carolina. And in case you haven't realized, all of those were in the United States of America. And there's one of those churches, I won't tell you which one it is, there's one of those churches that I said to one of the elders, "Oh, didn't see any black person in your church today, and yet you're right near a city that's full of black population." "We won't," he said. I said, "What do you mean you won't? They're not welcome." It really shook me. And I said, "Well, what if someone comes through your door?" "We'll tell them to go." And I said, "If they don't go, what will you do?" He said, "We'll all get up and leave." I can tell you now that that church has changed its policy. But you know, you do get some shocks. But I believe that when you find that kind of thing, we've got to speak up. We've got to tell them that God is the God of all people, of all nations. He loves us all. There has been a variety of other appointments, including Free Church Chaplain of the Royal Marsden Hospital and the Chelsea Women's Hospital. And I was quite a novice when I started chaplaining those two. And on one day at the Royal Marsden Hospital, I went up to a lady and said, "Do you mind if I sit down and we have a chat?" She said, not as long as you don't mind me still feeding my baby." I went red. I hadn't realized what she was doing. But she was a lovely person. And we met on an occasion after that too. But it was quite an experiment for me, or a new experience, I should say. But yes, so Royal Marsden, Chelsea Women's, Hillingdon Hospital, I was a chaplain there, and chaplain to the Royal British Legion at Newton Abbot. It's 20 years now, or it will be on Remembrance Sunday this year. And I don't know whether you would have known, but the chairman of the branch and his lovely wife were with us yesterday. And before he left, he brought me to tears. He brought out his Christmas cards. He brought out his birthday cards for me. And then he said, "Look, I want you to receive this." And there was a certificate from the Royal British Legion, Newton Abbot Branch, a certificate of achievement for support over there. The tears were so obvious that poor chairman turned around and said, "Oh, Bruce, I'm sorry." But it's wonderful, isn't it, how people can really appreciate what we try and do. I've also had the privilege of being planter of the Charville Community Church in London and the Willows Community Church here, of course. Chairman of the Hillingdon Refugee Association and of the Dartmouth Food Bank. And also chairman of Christians Against Poverty in South Hams, and a trustee of Christians in Poverty in Torbay. Finally, I have been a Baptist minister of the Baptists since 1963. And I had to look at that, and it means that I've celebrated 55 years as a minister. And so here we come. Frank Goodwin, the Baptist minister that married us, that baptized me, gave me my Bible and my membership card. And the text he wrote was this one. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That was presented to me when we were baptized, which would have been in 1960. Even then, still a bit of a rebel, and I thought, well, that's crazy. I'm never going to preach the gospel. Little did I know that what I'd already been doing was sharing God's love in lots of other ways. But you never know, do we, what God has in hand for us. But can I just say this, and this is why we're going to sing the last song, and this is why I was glad to bring last week's message to you. None of what I have done has been me. Me standing up and speak. Well, I know people. I know my boys' brigade captain of years back said he couldn't believe that I would stand up and talk. He said, you've always been such a shy, except when you're up to trouble. So, you know, it is amazing what the Lord can and will do. But we have to be empty of self and full of the Spirit. It is not about us. It is about the Lord and what he does through us. So if any of you at any time are called to do a particular task for the Lord, don't think that it's impossible, because it's not. Because with God, all things are possible. I praise God for all that he has achieved in my life. Amen. I've gone over time. In Christ alone. Yes, in Christ alone. Oh, oh yes, sorry. Right. So take my life.
Take my Lord.
straight through to in Christ alone my hope is found.
Right.